Thank David for that scripture reading. He made it much longer than what I gave him, and he did a great job. Have you heard about, can you believe? Did you see that? Do you see them? Phrases like that are usually the beginnings of a conversation filled with things or news about someone or something that you did not know about, but you're excited to hear about. And the question is even in those kinds of conversations, are there things that we should listen to? The fact of the matter is we've all found ourselves in one conversation or another. We begin talking with someone who is our friend or our acquaintance, and the next thing you know, it veers off into an area that it probably shouldn't veer off to. Did you hear about so-and-so? Can you believe they did this? Did you see what they did on Sunday? The fact of the matter is, we often talk a lot about the use of our tongues, and rightly so. The things that we choose to say to one another, but the fact is, for every word that is spoken, there's usually an ear to hear it, and probably to relish to do so. In James chapter 3, in verses 8 and 9, the half-brother of our Lord makes this comment about the tongue. He talks about it being a deadly poison. And the fact is that what is our tongue can emit, but the fact is if we choose to listen to those things, that's what we ingest. And so the challenge, or really the whole focus of the lesson this morning, is just an admonition to myself as well as to you about trying to listen more carefully, to listen with discernment, to listen to those things that are good for you, but try to tune your ears out to those things that can harm you. Last week, someone pulled me aside and began to confide to me. And as they began to speak, I started asking myself a question in mind. Should I even listen to this? Do I need to know this? Now, with full disclosure, that's not my normal reaction. I relish hearing those kinds of things. I'd rather know than not know. But there's just some things that we need to tune our ears out from. And so what I want to do in this lesson with you today is just offer some various admonitions, things for you to think about to help us try to listen with some discernment. And where I would like to begin is in the 10th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul, through inspiration, looks at the nation of Israel, and he looks specifically at their disobedience and the consequences of their disobedience so that the saints at Corinth and ultimately we might learn. Look with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. He says specifically there, "Now these things happen as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved." Now jump down to verse 10. "Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer." I don't think it's news to you that we are very free with our complaints and gripes. We're free to air them just like they did and without thought upon whose ears they may fall. If the ears that listen to the complaints and gripes that we might have may be mature enough to hear them and discern them for what they are. We complain about our church. We complain about our elders. We complain about our preachers. We complain about our brethren. We complain about our spouses. We complain about our nation. We complain about the leaders of our nation. We complain about the economy. We complain about our job. We complain about our school. And the question is while this lesson's not focused on the use of the tongue, but on the discernment of our ears, do you think our complaining might influence the people who hear those words? Put your shoes in the sandals of the children of Israel as they wandered in the desert. And as someone began to grumble, do you think the grumbling of one person might influence the words of someone else? The fact of the matter is, The things that we choose to hear and listen to often influence the things that we say and that we think about. I'll just tell you just a silly one. I like British television shows. I like to watch the BBC, but you know what? If I watch a steady diet of that, after I get done listening to it, I say things like cheerio and it's in the boot instead of the trunk. Because what I'm hearing influences the words I choose to say. But you know what? Even if I wasn't in a bad mood, and I'm around somebody who complains, I'm sorry, I'm not strong enough. Tip more times than not, I join right into the conversation. Yeah, you're right. That person, man, they're just the worst. That's aggravating. It influences what we then say by what we hear. We need to listen more carefully. Turn with me, if you will, now to Proverbs chapter 18. Another thought for you to consider. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8. The proverb writer says in this text, "The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body." Do you see how the words of the whisperer are described? They're something that is tasty, tantalizing. They are something to be desired. One translation renders this basically, gossip is tasty, and we love to swallow it. And I don't know if you thought about it in this verse, but how it describes the words of a whisperer as dainty morsels is very much like how the Word of God is described in Psalm 19, which is a very sad commentary. That the Word of God in Psalm 19 is described as sweet as the honey and the drippings of the honeycomb, but yet the words of the whisperer for many is just as sweet and tasty. But when I look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8, the thing I find to be the most frightening is the second part of this verse. When the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, the assumption is as you take them in, you listen, and notice what it says, and it says they go down into the innermost parts of the body. It means we can't unhear what we've just heard. And what we listen to then becomes part of us. What I heard about you colors the way I think about you. And because I chose to listen to something that was none of my business or I didn't need to listen to, can often shape what I think because it is gone and down and become part of me. I need to listen to what I be careful to what I listen to. A third admonition. Be like Switzerland. Listening well becomes more difficult in the midst of conflict or the midst of disagreement. The fact of the matter is when a disagreement arises or conflict occurs, typically each side tries to recruit for their position, right? If Josh and Mike are in an argument, Mike's going to come to me and say, "Can you believe what Josh did? Am I not in the correct position?" Josh is going to do the same thing. Am I not correct? And so they recruit, basically, for their position. They get people to try to listen to their point of view. And as more voices are added and tempers get flared, there's very little sense of resolution because the goal is not resolution, but winning an argument. And I may not be able to stop the disagreement, but I can determine what I listen to. And the point is I don't think Jesus wanted that for His kingdom. And Matthew chapter 18 is a text we're often familiar with, and we use it often to talk about discipline and all kinds of things, in which I think are correct. But do you see at the heart of this text is about what people choose to listen to and how they choose to listen? Look over in Matthew chapter 18 and just notice verse 15. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Do you see what that verse says? It says there's two people that have issue with one another and they are going to try to resolve this amidst themselves. The rest of us don't need to know about it. I don't need to hear anything about it. I don't need to listen to you talk about it. I don't need to listen to what you say about it. That's between the two brothers. Then go on down and look, if you will, in verse 16. But if he does not listen to you, take two or three witnesses with you, so by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. That verse is about listening. It's about when conflict occurs, I need to be able to set aside who my favorite is or what I think and try to listen with discernment and equality and equanimity and impartially. I just need to listen and give you the benefit of the doubt. This verse is about listening well. Only listen to those things that I need to know about. And then when I choose to listen in the midst of conflict, try to be impartial when I listen. A fourth admonition. We often cannot choose what we hear. We often can't. I mean, the fact of the matter is we're in a crowd of people and the crowd begins speaking and the next thing you know, someone utters something I really didn't need to listen to about someone else or some situation. I may be in a conversation with my wife or someone else and the next thing you know, I didn't need to know that. And I'm not saying I didn't use my wife as an example because she's often guilty of that. She just came to my mind. That's a bad thing to say too. But the point is, we can't often control what we hear, just as we often sometimes can't control what we see. But you know what I can do? I can choose what I do with it and don't do with it. Even if I don't have the courage at the moment to rebuke someone because they are gossiping or sharing things that they shouldn't have. Or even if I don't correct the alleged victim from laying out their burdens upon everyone, I can choose not to escalate it. It can end with what I hear. And I can carry that. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 21, it talks about how to keep a dispute from escalating in some senses. In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 21, the proverb writer says this. He says, like charcoal to hot embers and wood to a fire, so a contentious man to kindle strife. And the idea is just set in the opposite of that. How do I not kindle this? How do I not escalate it? How do I cause this not to go further than it needs to go? Take what I hear, bury it within myself, and do not repeat it. And do not allow it to influence my actions about to either party. Our listening, I need to listen better, and I need to be careful how I listen. A fifth admonition. More often than not, the people that you hear things that you probably shouldn't hear from are people that are most likely your closest friends, or the people that you feel you have a level of confidence in, or they have a level of confidence in you. And often the things that they're willing to share to you is about someone that you consider your rival, your enemy, or they're just not like you. And the fact of the matter is, I owe both of those parties something. My friend, even though they are my friend, and even though they think so much about me that they're willing to share this bit of news to me, I owe them the faithful wounds of a friend to tell them they do not need to be sharing those things. That's what Proverbs talks about. I mean, the idea in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. I owe that to that person. But you know what? I also owe something to the person that they choose to talk about. I owe something. I need to uphold their reputation. I need to defend them. Because that is what we owe to even those people who are our enemies. Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 verses 43 through 48. Where he speaks to the religious people of their day and tries to correct the way they look at the world and look at people around them. He says, you've heard it said that you shall love your enemy, your neighbor, and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. What's Jesus saying there? He says, even to those who might be your enemy or your rival, you owe something to them. And in the midst of a conversation where gossip may occur or somebody is sharing some insight into their character or their wrongdoing that you don't need to hear, you need to stand up for them and say, hey, they're a soul created in the image of God. I owe them to protect them, to defend them until it's absolutely proven to be otherwise. I owe them an impartial response. So I got to be careful how I listen. And the last admonition, there needs to be a level of humility in hearing. Maybe this is me. It probably is. I'm a weird creature. I mean, somebody comes running up to you. Did you hear this, David? And you know what happens when somebody comes up and do that? It kind of strokes my ego a little bit. You know, of all the people they could go and share this with, they came and chose to share it with me. And then I become somewhat pride-filled instead of sitting down and evaluating what they say. And then I kind of take up the cause for them. You know, I get the white flag and I go to war on their benefit. All because it just strokes my pride. The fact of the matter is, it's because somebody shared something with you doesn't mean anything. Most likely they've already shared it with 100 people before they got to you. But even if you are the only person they chose to share it with, you need to be careful with what you do with the information. The Apostle Paul gave instructions to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I think it is very good advice that falls on all of us. It may have a particular application for Timothy in his role in appointing elders and working within a congregation. But it just simply gives us good advice. He says, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. What's he saying? Don't be hasty to react to the information you receive. Don't allow it to stroke your ego. Make sure you investigate it. Be careful what and how you listen. And that's the point. Today, as soon as the final prayer is over, there are going to possibly be around 120 different conversations that take place after services. Okay? In some portion of those conversations, somebody's probably going to share some news or an idea or a view that probably doesn't need to be shared. And somebody's going to hear it. And the question is, what are they going to do? There's a children's song that we often sing that expresses a sentiment that I think is not only for children. He says, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. It's a great children's song. but it's a great admonition for us as adults. And it's not only what you hear, it's how you hear and who you hear. Because just as much as our mouth can be an instrument of destruction, so ears can take in things that can destroy us. David read for us Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12, I'll leave you with this final verse to think about. It says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them." What's the proverb writer saying about that? That the Lord has given you both of them, and they should be under the Lord's control. Isn't that what the proverb writer is saying? So not only what I choose to say, but also what I choose to hear. And my challenge to you as well as to me, I'm trying to do a better job at this, to try to listen with discernment, to be careful with what I listen to. Because I don't want it to take me someplace I don't want to go. That's the lesson. That's the thoughts that I prepared to share with you this morning. But before we end this service, as always, we want to make sure everyone has the opportunity to respond to the invitation of the gospel, to respond to Jesus. Mark talked about Jesus this morning in the sermon and about how his compassion is seen and how he always told us what we need to hear. And the fact is the thing that Jesus came to tell us the most is that we need him for the forgiveness of sins so we could be restored to a relationship with our Father. If you have a need for forgiveness today, if you're not in Christ Jesus, let us show you from the pages of Scripture who Jesus is and what he has came to do and what he is willing to do for you. We'd love to show you from the pages of Scripture how your sins can be forgiven and how you can be restored to relationship with God. If you have a need that the gospel will answer, please come as we stand and as we sing together.